Get your Bibles out, and I would like for you to turn to two portions of Scripture. First, I would like you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, and then put a marker there. And then I would like you to turn to the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 58, and then the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And I want us to look at two portions of Scripture this morning. I believe the Lord just wants to share something with us that I think is very, very important, especially in regards to the day in which we live. I want us to begin reading in the Gospel of Matthew, and I want to share a message that I believe is important for us, especially not only as a church, but that we are as a church in a community. We're not just a church just hid away, but we're a church within the community of Center. Amen? So the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, I want us to read verses 13 through 16, and it says this. I want you to say you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how shall it be made salty again? It is from then on good for nothing but to be thrown out and be trampled underfoot of men. You, I want you to say you again. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I love that verse, verse 16. It says, let your light. I want you to say your light. Now I want you to say my light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now let's turn to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. And I want us to begin reading at verse 6. Isaiah 58, verse 6. And it says this. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the poor who are outcasts into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light, I want you to say your light. Then your light shall break forth as the morning, and your healing shall spring forth quickly. And your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away from you the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light, I want you to say your light. Then your light shall rise in obscurity, and your darkness shall become as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall rebuild the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths in which to dwell. And I want to speak just a little bit this morning on this little light of mine. Amen? This little light of mine. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, asking, Lord, that you would help me to portray, to bring out what you have placed upon my heart to share. I pray that, Lord, we would be a people whose light is shining brightly. Lord, not hit under a basket, a bushel, but, Lord, rather a light that is blaring, Lord, for all to see. I pray that, Lord, our church would be a church, Lord, that is shining brightly on a mountaintop for all to see. And so we thank you for all that you will do today. In Jesus' name, amen. This church, Center Assembly of God, which its original name is Gethsemane, in Spanish, Gethsemane, Asambleas de Dios. This church has been here in the community of Center for quite a long time. In not in the not too distant future, we'll be celebrating 85 years of the church's existence. And that's a long time. This church has been here in this location for that amount of time, and a church exists not just to be there for people to talk about. It doesn't exist just to be a place that fills a particular lot of land in a city. But the church truly exists to be an impactful place for the whole of the community. It's not only a place for people to come in and get saved, but then leave and do nothing, but rather, God has called us as His church to make an impact in the community that we are a part of. Now, I know that most of us are from the city of Center, but not all of us. So that would mean that what we receive in this church should also go out to the places where we live and where we work, to those areas that we dwell. The church of the living God, as Jesus has clearly told us in chapter 5 of Matthew, is a church that is called to be a bright, shining light. Jesus clearly depicts the church as something that is not to be hidden under a bushel, because really the purpose of light is to shine. Light is not to be kept hidden or to be hidden under a bed or under a bushel, like it says, under a basket, because then the purpose of the light is really useless. But a light has always been meant to shine, to push away the darkness, to expose the areas where there is shadow, and ultimately to bring safety and even security to the one that is under that particular light. Whenever we are in the light, we are less prone to trip up and fall because we can see where we are going. Amen? There's security in the light because then it's harder for someone to just go into that area and break in and steal because there's light all around. You know, even insurance will ask, do you have light around your building? Because the more light you have, the less prone it's going to be broken into. Amen. Light has many different values and it has many points of usefulness. And when we consider the fact that Jesus has called you and me, us, the light of the world, then he begins to tell us how important our lives are to be. God is not calling us to be bright and shining while we're sitting in the pews in church, although he wants us to be in church, to fellowship, to learn from the Word of God, to be provoked by his Word, to live like we're supposed to live. Amen? But the real nitty-gritty of our lives is actually when we walk out those doors and we are in our homes, in our neighborhood, in our community. That is where our lights are really going to shine. And so Jesus said, look, you don't go and hide your light under a bushel, but rather you put it on a candlestick so that all will see it and that all can benefit from that light. You see, our Christian experience, who you and I are as Christians, is going to be very influential in our communities, where we are and where we dwell, where we work. Our Christian experience is something that should be attractive. It should be something that causes someone to want it. And so it should be our prayer, oh God, help us to be a light that really shines in a way that brings glory and honor to your name. Amen. You see, you and I, we are never going to be a perfect light in the sense that we're not going to live a sinlessly perfect life. There's no such thing. That's why we're justified by faith. Amen. But our life as a Christian is going to be made very real in how we live our lives as Christians. James, in the Epistle of James, would say, faith without works is dead. It's not enough for you and me to profess to everyone we're Christians and we attend Center Assembly of God. As good as that is, that by itself is not shining the light. Do you all hear what I'm saying? It may point someone to a light, and hopefully that light is us that is shining nice and bright. But our profession needs to be backed up by the manner of life that we are living. The more that God has gotten a hold of our hearts, I believe that there will be more and more of a concern for those around us. There will be more of a concern for our community. There will be more concern for the young people, for the youth, for the adults, and for the things that are in our communities. Amen? Because that's the heart of God. God's heart is all about people. And so when the scripture declares clearly that we are the light of the world, God is in essence revealing to us that we have a responsibility to shine the light where we are. John, in his epistle, not the Gospel of John, but in his letters, would bring out how that the light is something that we should seek and desire. Because he says, the children of God live in the light of God. Amen? Because outside of the light is darkness and shadow. But when we are in the light, even the dark areas of our heart are exposed to make us more like Jesus. Amen? And so we are children of the light. We are children of the day. And God has called us to be a light that shines in our world. And you see, that shining of the light is your and my responsibility. It begins with all of us. Our children are like little shining lights in our schools. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, this isn't just for adults. I mean, I'm just going to say that to our young people. It's not just for the adults to shine. And then when you're an adult, then you begin to shine. We're all lights, from the youngest child to the oldest adult. Amen? We are all lights. And we are called of God to shine brightly wherever we are. And that means that it's our responsibility to live like Jesus, to be filled with His Word and in prayer and praying, oh God, help me to live like a bright shining light wherever I am. Amen? Amen. In Isaiah 58, we find the prophet bringing out the word of the Lord. Isaiah the prophet is actually, in this portion of scripture, through the Lord, rebuking the people. The people at this particular time are fasting. They're seemingly doing holy things. I mean, if you were to look at it and the outward appearance, the average onlooker would think, wow, they must be holy. I mean, they're even fasting, they're praying, they're doing what seems to be holy. But I'm here to tell you that God sees right through the facade and looks right into the heart. And even though these people were seemingly trying to cry out to God for His blessing, but their heart wasn't really for God's blessing, they just wanted to be in appearance to be blessed. God looks at the heart. And so the Lord, through Isaiah, begins to rebuke them. But I want you to look at verses 1 through 5 so we can see this. It says this, "Cry aloud," and this is the Lord speaking to Isaiah. "Cry aloud and do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression," their sin, "and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily." It seems to contradict itself. On the one hand, there's this rebuke, show them their sin. But then look at verse 2, it says, "Yet they seek me daily, they delight to know my ways. As a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God, they ask me for their ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted?" All of a sudden comes the question. See, by appearance, it looks like these people are wanting to seek after God. It seems like they delight in knowing the Lord. It seems like if they want God in the right way, they want justice, and it seems like they're taking delight in approaching God, but then all of a sudden, they're the ones questioning. Verse 3 says, "Why have we fasted, and you do not see?" Now they're accusing God. "Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no notice? Certainly on the day of your fast, you find your desire and you are exacting all your labors. Certainly you fast for strife," the Lord responds. So on the one hand, it gives the appearance, wow, they're really religious. They're doing their Christianese. I mean, whenever they're around each other, they're saying brother and sister. They're saying the right Christian words. They're going to church. They're going to Bible studies, they're doing all these things, but yet, in their heart, they're saying to God, why are we even doing this? You see, the heart isn't in it. You all kind of get that? Why are we fasting? I mean, Lord, we're even humbling ourselves and you're not listening. You don't even take notice. But then the Lord responds and says, certainly on the day of your fast, you find your desire and you are exacting on all your labors. Certainly you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You do not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. It is such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to humble himself. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to speak or to spread out sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? In other words, he's saying, look, I'm tired of the show. He's saying, you're showing yourself to be religious. You're doing the right actions. You're throwing dust on yourself like they did in those days. They would humble themselves. They would take a whole day out to fast. And they're fasting for strife, though. The reason for their fasting is not with the right motive. And it's all in show. It's all in pretense. And the Lord is saying, I'm tired of this. That is not the fast that I have chosen. And so then the Lord, through Isaiah, will tell them, this is what I want. It's not that he wants them to not fast, but he's saying if you're going to do that and not really do it with the right motive, don't do it at all, because you're only doing it for the show of men. Remember, Jesus would say, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. He says, who go and make their hair in disarray and they don't take a bath and they just make themselves to look like they're fasting. And they do it that way on purpose so that they can appear to fast. So that they can get the praises of men. Wow, they're fasting. Look. Look how holy they are. They're doing it for show. But Jesus said, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. He says, when you fast, you take a bath, you comb your hair, and you should look unto men as if you're not even fasting. So that the Lord, who sees in private, will reward you openly. Amen? You see, their motive was wrong, and the Lord is now rebuking them. And he says, look, this is what I want. Is this not, he says here in verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Now, there's an insinuation here. This means that the people weren't doing this, doesn't it? You see, they were fasting to appear to be a holy people, to be seeking after God and delighting themselves in the things of the Lord. But right in the midst of them were these kinds of things. People were bound in wickedness. People were carrying heavy burdens. And the oppressed were not free. And he's saying, is not this what I have chosen? That you do these things to loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the poor who are outcasts into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then, he says, your light shall break forth as the morning, and your healing shall spring forth quickly, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. You see, they're fasting and saying, God, where are you? And God's not responding because they're fasting for strife. But he's saying, this is the fast that I want to see you doing. In other words, I want you to be real people of God. I want you to be for real. Don't ignore the needs around you and then expect, you know, for all this blessing. God, you know, sometimes God's going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Amen. He's not going to bless you just so that you can go and put it in the bank and go and hide it away and not. No. He wants us to be an instrument through which he can use, an instrument through which he can flow. Amen. And so God, believe it or not, is going to bless you as you cry out to him so that you can be a blessing. That doesn't mean you always have to have your doors open and the homeless in your house because, you know, I mean, you got to have discernment. You got to pray, God, give me discernment to know who to welcome into my house, because sometimes there can be those that can take advantage or want to do wrong. You got to be discerning, especially in this day that we're living. Amen? But we must be very aware of the surroundings around us and be in prayer, God, how can I be a blessing? How can I be a blessing to my neighbor or to my community? In what ways can the light of God shine through me? And that has to be your prayer. It can't be, you know, the pastor saying you got to do it this way and this way and this way. I mean, hopefully as things arise and we're aware, we can mention it to you and you can help respond to those needs. You follow what I'm saying? But I believe God is God enough to speak. And I believe that we sincerely pray, God, how can I be a blessing to someone today? God will open that door and He will help you to be a blessing. I've heard the testimonies of a gentleman, and it's his testimony. I'm not saying you have to do this. If God leads you that way, that's Him leading you. I'm not saying to do this. But there was a gentleman that every morning he would say, God, how can I be a blessing today? And he would take a $20 in his pocket, cash. Lord, I want you to allow me to be a blessing. And he would say every time, he would pray to God who he can be a real blessing to. The need would arise and the $20 bill would be sufficient. Now notice, we're not trying to play copycats. We're not trying to make a religious order that you go and carry a $20 bill in your pockets now to be... You follow what I'm saying? I'm not saying to do that. God will lead you how you can be a blessing. Financially. Or with particular gifts and talents you may have. Time that you can give to help. Amen. Let God lead you. But when we're that way and we pray, God, I want to be a blessing. You know what's going to happen? This little light of mine, right? I'm going to let it shine, right? You don't go and do it to come into church next Sunday and say, you know what? I do all this, and I did all that, and I did all this, and I did all that, and I did this, and that, and this, and that, just to boast. No. Now, I'm not going to say don't testify. You testify. Give God praise. Amen? But we don't do it to go and boast. We do it so that we can be a blessing and we can testify. Amen? We've got to pray, God, help us to have the right motives of the heart. Amen? Let's continue it on real quick. It says here in the latter part of verse 9, it says, if you take away the yoke from your midst. The yoke, you know, whenever they used to get oxen and use them to plow the fields, they would tie them together with a heavy yoke. They would kind of bind two yoke of oxen together. A yoke was something that would hold something bound. Two cows together, what have you. A yoke was something to hold something bound. So if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger. We all know what the pointing of the finger is, right? Do we all know what the pointing of the finger is? I think we all know, right? You know, they, them, you know. But it says, take away the yoke and the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness. And if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light will rise in obscurity and your darkness shall become as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually. He promises guidance here. Lord, how can I be a blessing? Lead me, and He will lead you. Amen? We as a church should pray how we can be more of a blessing in our community, and as He opens the doors, we will go through them. Amen? As individuals and as a church. It says, the Lord will guide you. He will satisfy your soul in drought, strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall rebuild the old waste places. This is one a quick focus on, and then we'll pray. It says, those from among you shall rebuild the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths in which to dwell. Why am I bringing out that section? I mean, we could have stopped there with verse 11. But I want to bring out a point. Like I said in the beginning of this sermon, this church has been here for almost 85 years. This church has been here in this community, and its purpose should be to be a blessing in the community. I don't know all of its history, you know, I don't know all that it's been through as a church, but we are still here. Brother Melendres said, I think there should be, you know how they put little epitaphs on cemeteries? He says there should be an epitaph for this church, and it was the church that refused to die. Praise the Lord. I'm agreeing with Brother Melendres. Amen. The church that refuses to die. Praise God. I think that's good. But God has a purpose for this church. Amen? And He has a purpose for how this church impacts this community and can even impact the valley. But God, ultimately, you see, it's been through its seasons. It's been through its times. But as we as a church begin to do as the Lord has commanded. Amen? And we begin to fast in the appropriate way and begin to see the needs and meet those needs of those around us. The Bible says here, those from around you, among you, will rebuild the old waste places. Amen? That means restoration will take place. Amen? Amen. Maybe those that have talked bad against the church will begin to say, God is there. Amen? Where those that maybe will say, I don't want to go to that church because such and such and so and back and when. Amen? God will restore it. Is that the kind of God that we serve? It says, you shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach. A breach is like a breaking, a tearing, a breaking. You'll repair it. And the restorer of paths in which to dwell. And it's going to happen not as the pastor shines the light, because I need to shine. Amen? But the church is not the pastor. The church is the pastor and the whole of the congregation. Amen? Amen. Amen. Did you know that it's the responsibility of the members of the church, those that attend the church, to reach out to the community? Did you know it's sheep that beget sheep? Amen? And so we must be a people that will reach out. God, lead us in how we can be a blessing. And as we say that simple prayer, God will bless us so that we can be a blessing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand this morning. If it's your prayer, Lord, make me a blessing, then I want you to come to this altar and I want us to pray together. For some of you, it may be, Lord, bless me so that I can be a blessing. You need God's blessing to be able to be a blessing. Then let's pray. Amen. So I want you to come to this altar. Let's pray together. And let's ask the Lord to help us as His church, as His people, to be a blessing in our communities, whether it's Center, Alamosa, if it's Capulene, La Jara, Saguache, Del Norte, amen, South Fork, San Luis, somewhere in the valley, that will just be a blessing. Amen. Lord, I want to be a blessing. Let this little light of mine begin to shine. Father, we come before You as a church, and Lord, we acknowledge our need for You. I pray first and foremost, Lord, that You would help us to have within our hearts the right motive. That, Lord, we wouldn't want to do this in any way to be seen of men, but rather that truly we would pray, and that as we pray, You would give us the eyes that see the needs around us, and that as we begin to see those needs, we would reach out to those people, those needs. And as we are there meeting the need in whatever way it is, that, Lord, the light of Jesus would shine in that home, in that house, in that neighborhood, Lord. And that, Lord, it would truly begin to shine in such a way that those people would find, Lord God, themselves abiding in that light. And that that light would begin to draw them to the true light, Jesus Christ Himself. I pray that we would truly remember that we are not the light itself, but that we are the reflectors of the light. And that, Lord, as we reflect You, Lord God, in whatever way it is, if it's giving someone a hug, if it's praying for someone in need, if it's helping out, volunteering our time, if it's just using our talents to be a blessing, Lord, I do ask that, Lord, You would bless the work of our hands for Your glory and for Your honor. I pray that the light of Jesus would shine, Lord, through this church. And that, Lord, it would be so transforming, it would be rubbing off on the other churches. That, Lord, it wouldn't be just the sole work of Center Assembly of God, but that you would begin to use our church to impact the other churches to be a blessing. I pray that, Lord, we would be able, Lord God, to see the advancement of your kingdom here in Center Colorado and throughout the San Luis Valley, because you have promised that the light will shine. That, Lord, even the breaches would be restored. Lord, I believe that there is restoration, Lord, as we live our lives for you. And so I pray, Lord, even if there's anything that needs to be restored, any breaches, any breaks that need to be sealed, Lord God, in our testimony, in the testimony of this church, I pray that you would heal them, Lord. And that, Lord God, you would do a work that only you can do. Lord, I thank you that you said, Lord, even our night will be like the noonday. Lord, that we will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring that will never run dry. Lord, you have promised, Lord, with clarity, that, Lord, you will meet our every need. So help us not to worry, but rather help us to pray. And I pray, Lord, for a sensitivity, Lord, to be able to know how we can be a blessing. Lord, if it's to help someone to get a product in the store, if it's to put a basket away that someone just left in the middle of the road, if it's whatever shape or fashion that it is, let the light of Jesus shine through us, we pray. Lord, Lord, no more basket, no more bushel that it's hidden under. Instead, let it be blaring for all to see. And I pray that, Lord, you would push back the gates of hell that would try to hinder what you want to do. Lord, stop the hindrance of the devil. And we ask that, Lord, you would just let the light of Jesus shine brightly in the name of Jesus. However you choose to do it, we welcome it, Lord. And we just ask that you would be glorified alone. Lord, let Jesus be exalted in our midst. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.